The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive football stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at NewBalance.com.
Hey, y'all. I'm Bud Elliott, and this is Cover 3 College Football Summer School. We've done our research on the teams, and now we're bringing on the top team experts from the 24/7 Sports Network to help us fill in the blanks. Please follow us on Twitter at Cover 3 Podcast. That's Cover 3 Podcast. And leave us a 5-star review on Apple and Spotify. All right. Class is in session. Hey guys, welcome back into the Cover 3 Podcast Summer School Series. I'm Bud Elliott, and today we're going to go down to Texas and talk a little TCU. That's right, we're bringing on Jeremy Clark of HornFrogBlitz.com. Jeremy, welcome to the show, man.
Hey, thanks for having me on, man. It's going to be fun.
No doubt about it. And speaking of fun, could be a pretty fun year there in Fort Worth. Last year's team, 80th in a lot of the power ratings. You know, I kind of pulled an average somewhere between like 70th and 85th, which is, you know, sort of disappointing for a team that had, you know, some expectations last year. And out is Gary Patterson, and in is Sonny Dyke. So I guess I'll start by taking the temperature of the fan base with you. Is everybody excited? They like the hire? What are they feeling so far?
I would think if you ask the fan base on a scale from about 1 to 10, they'd probably give it a 9 so far, just based on everything that he's doing differently from what Coach Patterson did. I think as far as media, you can also say the same thing. There's just been so much access that's been given. The social media platform has been basically a daily thing for TCU football. The media access, having access to every spring camp practice was huge. Gave us an idea. Sonny Dykes is like, if you want to come, you're welcome to get out there. I don't care who goes out there, whether it's fans, whether it's media. There was a lot of excitement, a lot of fun, and I've been around the program for 17 years, and I can just tell you right now, a lot of players I talked to, ex-players and current players, just said, man, this is just different. It's just different. And if you look at all those things, it's kind of a breath of fresh air is the term a lot of people have told me. It's all gonna depend on how fall goes with wins and losses. Everything is a lot of sunshine and everything right now, but it's still going to matter what happens in the win column come the fall.
It's all fun and games till you got to actually play the games. And offense last year was, you know, typically under Gary Patterson had usually been defense better, but in the last couple of years, not always the case. Last year I had the offense as the better unit, but still not a great unit. And I want to start here. Are you figuring more up tempo this year with Sonny Dykes?
Yeah, I think so. If you look at last year, it really became a point where their defense was playing so bad. And I'll just be frank with you. That was probably the worst defense I've seen them have in the Gary Patterson era. You got to compare that. Just looking back, 2004 was probably the only other year that was really comparable to last year. But I think with the way their defense was struggling, they wanted to keep their offense on the field as long as they could. So you didn't really have an up-tempo offense. And really, there was a lot of critics that were kind of getting mad. There were so many frustrated things about the team last year. And one of the things was, is like Max Duggan played better when they went faster, when they went more up-tempo, and you just didn't see a lot of that. They wanted to run the football, a lot of play action, and a lot of that was just predicated by how bad the defense was. And I think this year you're going to see a lot more up-tempo, a lot more air raid football. And that's funny that you mentioned the offense, because we interviewed Doug Meacham, who's still on staff and was the offense coordinator last year. And he straight up told us during spring camp, hey, I wouldn't classify last year as air raid offense. And this year they're going to look to throw the ball more, get the tight ends involved a little bit more and try to air it out. And they're all really excited about that, what's in store for them this season.
So you mentioned Max Duggan. First of all, I've always been a huge fan of his potential, given that he was a four-sport guy out of Iowa. I thought he was, you know, one of those dudes. I covered Jameis Winston as a recruit, right? I remember it okay. Like, if he ever focused on football and dropped the baseball, maybe there's an extra level he could unlock. And you know, obviously, Duggan didn't get to play a lot of seven on, being that he was a four-sport guy in well, they don't really play a whole lot of seven on in Iowa. It was Iowa, right? Or Indiana, somewhere in the Midwest, I remember.
Iowa, yeah.
Is he going to be the guy? Because I know they have Chandler Morris as well.
That's the big question I've been asked all offseason, bud. I mean, I'll just tell you, based on spring camp, if there was a equal amount of reps that the Garrett Riley and Sonny Dykes gave the quarterbacks, it was split right down the middle. I mean, if you're just a fan or just media going out to watch spring camp, there's no way you can determine that's the guy. That's the guy. Because there were some practices where Max looked better. There were some practices Chandler looked better. And I think that, you know, you're looking at, in today's era of college football, transfer portal, and some cynics are saying, well, Sonny didn't want to name a starter because he didn't want to lose one of them. But I honestly think that this battle was so tight that there was no starter that kind of put themselves in front of one another. So this battle is going to go to the fall. Each quarterback, Max, has great qualities about him. There's still a lot of TCU fans. They're living in the mad scientist world of Gary Patterson still, where you had a quarterback that may not be a great thrower, but, man, he could play safety, or he could be a great slot receiver. And a lot of TCU fans look at that way because Max has great athleticism. He's a really fast quarterback. And people kind of envision, man, what would it look like if he was a safety or if he was a receiver? He could be a great guy that can move the chains. But I'll just be straight up with you. I don't think the battle is going to be really named until about 2 weeks before that opening game at Colorado.
If you had to make a friendly bet with another member of the media, is there a guy that you think will win?
Well, and I hate to say it because I love both quarterbacks, but just looking based off what my evaluation was through spring camp and what I saw last year in that game against Baylor, I think Chandler has a little bit more of an upside than what Max has. If you look at the accuracy, he's a little bit more accurate. Max was inconsistent last year, and he's really been inconsistent throughout his whole career. I mean, there's games where Max looks like a Heisman Trophy caliber quarterback, and then there's games like, wow, this guy probably shouldn't be starting right now. And he'll be the first to admit he had a bad game, and he owns that stuff. He owns every bit of his bad performances. But I feel, based on what I've seen through spring camp and what I saw a little bit, just a little portion of last year, I really feel that Chandler runs the offense just a little bit better. But they've got two good quarterbacks, and the one thing that always stands out to me from conversations with Sonny Dykes is he always tells us he doesn't have to be the biggest quarterback. He doesn't have to be the fastest. He doesn't have to have the strongest arm. He's just got to be the most consistent. And I think right now Chandler's probably got a little bit more consistency about him.
No doubt about it. I took Quentin Johnson, I think, in our receiver draft that we did yesterday. I feel like he's a guy, if he stays healthy, very likely to become a superstar that, you know, kind of explodes on the national stage. Our listeners have already heard about that. So unless I'm wrong, I'd like to ask you about the other pass catchers on this team. How do you feel about weapons, you know, 2, 3, and 4?
Well, first off, that was a great pick by you. And you're going to be glad that you had that, because you talk about Quentin Johnson around the program. It's kind of a foregone conclusion. If he has a good year this year, he's going to be on the radar of all those NFL teams. So good pick there, bud. But I would say the other two or three guys, they still got Darius Davis back. He's an electric player. He's a guy that had 170 yards against Oklahoma State year before last. Tay Barber feels like he's been there for 7 years. He used that COVID year. Is coming back for a fifth season. Jorquarius Spivey is a kid that I would tell fans to look out for. As I mentioned earlier, they're going to use the H. He's more of an H tight end. He's not really a put your hand on the ground tight end weapon. He's going to line up in the slot. He's a 6'6 kid, about 245, and he can run. He had a really good spring. The coaches were very high on him. And he's a kid that I feel like could probably get 30 to 40 targets this year, maybe even more, and just really become part of that offense. But at the Z position, there's two kids that have really battled it out, and I still don't know who's going to start. It's going to be an interesting fall. But Quincy Brown, a true sophomore, he was a top receiver target out of the 2020 class, and Savion Williams, both those guys, Quincy 6'4", and Savion is 6'5". So you've got Quentin at 6'4", at X. They moved him from Z over to X, and you've got another 6'4", 6'5", depending on who starts, is going to get that starting Z spot. But the surprise out of camp this spring, and I love this story, was Gunnar Henderson. Gunnar Henderson is all of about 5'7", probably about 175 pounds, and I remember going to these camps back when he was coming out of McAllen, Texas. going to these Under Armour camps or Nike camps and seeing this kid run by these highly ranked 3- and 4-star corners, but no one would ever take a chance on because he was 5'7", and he's got decent speed, but no one really took a chance on him. He's walked on at TCU, excelled, and those coaches love him. Those coaches love him. He is by far the most consistent kid out of the receiving corps in spring camp. Had the most catches in the spring game, had about 90 yards receiving in the spring game. So he's another kid that they didn't really know what to expect, but they're eyeing him as being the guy. Hey, it's 3rd and 10. Gunner's probably going to be getting the ball. And a lot of people are going to be talking about Gunner, I think, this year.
No doubt about it. Offensive line does lose 3 out of the top 4 by snap count, maybe not by talent. Am I right to be worried about that group?
Well, I feel like they've got to replace Obinna Eze. He was a great NFL or NFL type tackle, big guy, got a lot of starts in his career. Obviously, played most of his career at Memphis and just 1 year at TCU. But they replace him with some big guys. I mean, Marcus Williams comes in at 6'7", 320. Andrew Coker's another guy that can slide over from right tackle to left tackle. But they have a lot of – tackle is the one position I'm kind of concerned with, but the interior of the offensive line with Alon Alley, you've got Wes Harris coming back, you've got Steve Avila. Steve Avila has been around TCU for so long. There's about 6 or 7 guys right now that they feel pretty comfortable with that are kind of –
Oh, Avila's back?
Oh, yeah, he's coming back. Yeah,
he was a Pro Football Focus first team All Big 12.
Yeah, absolutely. And
so is that a super senior year for him, I assume?
That is correct. So he's
that's why we do these summer school, man. That is really really good to know. Awesome.
Yeah, he's really the key to that offensive line. Him and Ollie are really experienced guys, and they kind of battled it out. It was funny watching them. AJ Ricker, the new offensive line coach, kind of interchanged just to see what parts worked best. And really, you've got Ali and Avila that could play center or guard, and either one of them are going to be starting at center or guard, in my opinion. But the interior of the offensive line is extremely experienced, and I think that's going to help them. They looked good this spring, and that was pretty much a bright spot for Sonny Dykes. He always commented on how well the offensive line was looking, and if you watched them in spring ball as much as I did, they were really consistently open up the running lanes and giving each of the quarterbacks plenty of time to get the ball off.
So this defense last year was just embarrassing. I mean, I had it as the worst defense in the Big 12 non-Kansas, category. I mean, Jeremy, there wasn't really anything they did particularly well. Was it coaching, talent? I mean, almost has to be a mixture, I assume. And yet I look at who they lose. I mean, they lose some guys that I've heard of before, especially, O'Shawn Mathis, who pretty high draft pick. Can this unit be better? And if so, how?
Well, it's crazy when you get a coaching change, how things kind of change. And I mentioned earlier that it just looked like players were having fun. And I think the reason why the defense was the way it was last year was kind of a mixture of things. Not a ton of want to, I guess you could say, is the best way I could say it. And
some quit factor, maybe.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So that's going to be a good question. I will say this, Joe Gillespie, he looks like a guy that anyone would want to play for. He's a guy that the players just spoke volumes about. They loved learning under him. And the linebacker play this spring was really, really impressive. And one guy I'll mention in particular, D. Winters. D. Winters really, and I love this kid, but he really didn't have a good year last year in 2021, and not the year that a lot of us media expected him to have. And D. Winters was probably the best defensive player in the entire spring camp. He just really had a great time. And that new scheme, the 3-3-5 that they're utilizing, they're going to look – people are going to have to get used to the new TCU defense because everyone's so used to seeing that 4-man front, the 2 linebackers, them getting after the quarterback, and that's something they didn't do last year as the defense was get after the quarterback. That I believe they were next to last in the Big 12 in sacks, and that's just unheard of for a Gary Patterson defense. But their defensive line is going to look much different this year. They're at nose, they're going to try to go 320 to 325 pounds. Their ends are going to be basically like Iowa State. It's going to be basically like watching Iowa State, except the uniforms are going to be purple and white.
So they're playing a three-down tight front stuff.
Exactly. Okay. So that's going to kind of be the mentality. They're going to have linebackers that some guys are going to fill the gaps. Some guys are just going to run all over the field, and that's kind of what D. Winters did. And there's some player when you have a team that was bad last year and you have a lot of that experience returning, you think, okay, well, is that a good thing or a bad thing? When they learn a new scheme and when they're having fun doing it and they seem like they're coachable and just – having a good time out there, just playing and feeding off one another. They're flying to the ball. They're making plays. And that's what we saw all spring. Now there was times where the offense got the better of them. And we may need to see two or three games before the defense really shows us what they are. But defensive line, they lost O'Shawn Mathis, but they returned Dylan Horton. Dylan Horton, in some cases, was better than O'Shawn Mathis last year. Linebacker, you got D. Winters, Jamoy Hodge, Johnny Hodges, the transfer in from Navy, had a tremendous spring. And Marcel Brooks, the name that not a lot of people talk about.
That dude is violent.
Well, you just talk about the differences when having a new face come in and a coach. And Marcel was kind of like, he was in, I don't even know how to describe it. I mean, football was not his thing for 2 years after transferring from LSU. They tried him on defense, didn't work. Put him on offense, really didn't work. And then Gillespie comes in and says, I think you could play defense. He went from 180 to 210 under Coach Cause. That strength coach is the biggest reason why TCU is going to look so much different this year physically and just everything else they do. But he weighs 210. Marcel, other than D. Winters, probably had one of the best springs that we all saw as media. And he's just having fun, making plays, showing why he was considered a five-star athlete out of high school. He's just making plays that we all have been waiting to see, but they have arguably two of the best corners in the Big 12, with Trey Tomlinson and Noah Daniels and Mark Perry. That's the good thing about, we always hear about Sonny Dykes and the transfer portal, their success at SMU. They've done a tremendous job getting some of these players through the transfer portal. And probably the best one they've got is a guy that really we didn't have ranked real high, as Mark Perry out of Colorado. That kid has come in. And if I would have known better, I'd have said, man, this kid looks like he's been at TCU for 3 or 4 years now. Come in, adapt to the defense, and looks like a TCU safety that you would see, like a Trayvon Morig. He's got good size, has good speed, and just extremely smart at free safety. So they have the pieces, bud. I don't know if it's going to result in them being so much better, but you can't get much worse from what they were last year.
So if I were to say – 6 or 7 wins. Does that feel off?
I'm going to get hammered for this because I've said on my message boards that I feel like 6-6 is the floor, and I have a feeling like 8-4 is the ceiling.
Okay.
The Big 12, you can steal a few wins here or there. You can lose a few games here and there. So I kind of feel like that, and that's not to disparage the players or the coaches. Because I feel like they can, like I said, the Big 12 is so wide open this year that I feel like they can win some of these games. But I also look at them starting from scratch. They're not only getting a new offensive coordinator, they're getting an entire new staff. They're going to an entirely new scheme on offense, entirely different scheme on defense. And what was everyone saying about Texas last year? Everyone was predicting Sark was going to have this great year. And in some of those games, they were playing extremely well, and then they didn't finish it off in the fourth quarter. And a program that many felt could win 8 or 9 games ends up 5-7, and that's what you don't want to see with TCU this year. Hopefully, they find a way to finish games. But I feel like a 6-6 and 8-4 season is ahead of them, which if you look at the past 4 or 5 years for TCU, that is a record that TCU fans should be very, very happy for.
For sure. One thing I do a lot like about this TCU schedule is that in the Big 12, when you're handicapping, you always got to pay attention to, first of all, is it a 5 home game year or a 4 home game year? And for this, it's a 5, right? Yeah. And TCU is an interesting one because when TCU plays the 5 home games, one of their road games is Kansas, which I'm not saying you can't lose to Kansas, but for the most part, that's kind of a layup as long as you're just a decent team. And I mean, that means your only 3 other road games in conference, West Virginia, which later in the year. I mean, who knows what they'll be at Texas. Again, don't really know what they'll be. And at Baylor, I mean, I think we trust that Baylor will be at least decent. I kind of like this team a little bit, I feel like. Even though, you know, the average number of wins, if I was to run it, comes out to like, you know, 6.8. I feel like there is some upside here, maybe if things go their way, especially if one of those quarterbacks were to hit.
Right, absolutely. And the schedule, you hit the nail on the head. I mean, they get Oklahoma at home. They get Oklahoma State at home. They get Iowa State at home. And traveling to Baylor is an hour away from Fort Worth. So they're going to have good fan support. And obviously, you mentioned Kansas as well. And then Kansas does pull off some – and they've beaten TCU up in Lawrence before. But I feel like this TCU team won't go into Lawrence and overlook those guys. But, yeah, the schedule sets up perfect for them. And they've absolutely had no problem winning on the road at Texas. If they – gets a few bounces here and there. I mean, it's like I said, Bud, it's a team that we could very well be seeing them be 6-6, or we can look up and rub our eyes and look at them being 9-2 at some point in the season and playing for a chance to play in the Big 12 championship. Now, I'm not putting those expectations on them, but with the way the Big 12 is so wide open this year, I really feel like they may have that opportunity.
I mean, a 3 or maybe 4, I doubt the 4, but a 3-loss team can certainly make the Big 12 title game in a year like this. Jeremy, I really appreciate the time. It's been super informative. I feel like I learned a whole lot more about TCU. Jeremy Clark, hornfrogblitz.com is the place to go, the best site on the internet for any kind of TCU coverage you might need. So I really appreciate you coming on.
Thanks for having me on, bud.
Ready to start talking to your kids about financial literacy? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app that teaches kids and teens how to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest with your guardrails in place. Parents can send instant money transfers, automate allowance, and more. Plus, keep an eye on spending with real-time notifications. Join more than 6 million families building healthy financial habits together on Greenlight. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey. That's greenlight.com/odyssey.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hey guys, I'm Bud Elliott, and welcome back to another edition of the Cover 3 Podcast Summer School Series. And today, we're heading down to Texas, and we're going to talk to Jarrett Johnson of InsideTheRedRaiders.com. That is the leading source on the internet for all your Texas Tech coverage. Jarrett, welcome to summer school, man.
Thanks for having me, bud, man. It's really exciting to be on this. This is a great podcast y'all do.
No doubt about it. We're learning a lot about all the teams here this summer. And, you know, Texas Tech was an interesting team for me last year. I bet the over on their win total, and that cashed. And they fired their head coach and got a new coach. Oh. And I got to tell you, Jared, that doesn't happen often. Like, teams don't usually exceed the Vegas expectation and then also make a coaching change, but they had a chance to go get Joey McGuire, and they felt that was the direction needed to go.
Yeah, you know, the thing is people want to say, okay, this coach did a bad job, but it's not always that simple, right? I mean, the previous coaching staff did a great job of rebuilding the roster, which was really in disarray from the previous regime. But then there were some in-game mistakes that just were really hard to defend, and things kind of snowballed. And then Texas Tech had an opportunity to go out, like you said, and get a Joey McGuire, who I've been saying even back before with the previous coaching search that McGuire is a star. His connections within the high school ranks in Texas are as good as it gets, as good as you could ask for. And he gets Texas Tech. I believe they got it right this time. I think the recruiting rankings are kind of showing that early on. We'll have to see how he does in his first season coming up. But, yeah, it was a very interesting season all the way around. And like you said, I think they exceeded most expectations with the big win over Iowa State late and then by crushing Mississippi State in the bowl game.
No doubt about it. So Joey McGuire inherits a fairly good offense from last year and brings in a Cover 3 podcast favorite in Zach Kittley to be his OC, who was at Western Kentucky. Helton made the nice hire last year at WKU, and they almost won their league before, you know, Kittley, who runs that it's pretty up-tempo, chucking around air raid. Are you expecting this offense to be even faster than what Tech ran last year? Because they certainly weren't slow.
Yeah, they slowed down some last year from what they wanted to do originally when the coaching staff was brought in. But, I mean, most, especially in the Big 12, most of the teams are running something similar. But I think what we're seeing in college football in general, and certainly in the Big 12, is, yes, you want to go fast. Yes, we're going to spread. Yes, we're going to throw the ball around. But you have to have some power run element to your team to give your defense a rest, to ice games when you have the opportunity, and to impose your will. I think that's really coming back around. Football is cyclical. And Texas Tech has a pretty good backfield coming back with Sir Roger Thompson and Taj Brooks and some younger guys coming up through the program. So that's one of the big questions, like, throughout spring posed to Coach Joey McGuire and Zach Kittley was, are you going to still try and run the ball? And they've said all the right things in terms of what the fans want to hear. Yes, we want to utilize these backs. If we're able to do that with our offensive line, that's what we're going to do when the opportunity presents itself. But, you know, with these air raid offenses, whether it be Mike Leach, Cliff Kingsbury, and now Zach Kittley, and they all have their own variations, don't get me wrong, but it's one of those where I'll believe it when I see it in terms of sticking with a run or being able to cultivate a power running element to that style offense.
No doubt about it. At quarterback, this is one of the reasons we do summer school, because, you know, we're checking to make sure the rosters are still accurate. They still have Tyler Shough and they still have Donovan Smith, correct?
Yeah, Tyler Shough, Donovan Smith, and then there's a young guy, Baron Morton, who had the best spring game of all the three. He's one of the highest rated guys the Techs signed in the modern recruiting era. And they're in the midst still. They didn't announce anything through spring ball, but they're in the midst of a legitimate quarterback battle. And the first one, this will be my ninth or 10th season covering Texas Tech for exclusively for either Scout or 24/7. And this is the first legit one. I mean, they had one between Patrick Mahomes and Davis Webb. And I was like, that's not, it's Mahomes, you know, yeah. And they've had some other ones where they say there's a quarterback battle, but this is a legit quarterback battle because all three guys do similar things, but bring their own wrinkle to the offense and their own strengths. And they're all, honestly, they're all good. Texas Tech can win with all three of these quarterbacks.
And certainly with the transfer deadline having passed, all three guys have to think at least that they have a real shot at this. Is there somebody in your mind that you would give the nod to? Or, I mean, obviously not a slam dunk necessarily if it's a three-man race, but is there somebody you think, all right, most likely this would be the guy if you had to put some money on it?
Yeah, Tyler Shough had a really good spring. He's probably the most experienced out of the three. Donovan Smith got a lot of experience last year and won that bowl game against Mississippi State. He's 6'5", 240 at this point and has a really good arm. All three of them could throw on the run. But I think Tyler Shough, I mean, he has all the tangibles. He's also, you know, in terms of beyond the tangibles, he's a great leader, all those things. He did some things for Oregon that were good. He did some things early in the season last year for Tech, before he got hurt. So, and he had a good spring. So I think if I had to say, Shough would be the guy to start at least opening day.
And at the very least, they have depth. Team took quite a number of transfers. Who are the transfers that you feel will have the greatest impact that college football fans out there need to know about?
Yeah, linebacker Demetri Moore, he actually played for Coach McGuire way back in the day at Cedar Hill there in the Metroplex in high school. I saw him play some when I was at the four-star Telegram covering high school ball. He's a very talented linebacker who was an all-SEC freshman player, led Vanderbilt coming out of high school in tackles his sophomore year. Then he had some off-the-field adversity, lost his grandfather. Had a couple of injuries, hamstring injuries really hold him back. Transferred to Missouri State, had an okay season. But I know this guy has the potential. I know he's hungry. I think he's going to start. Well, he is, more than likely, unless he's hurt or something. He's going to start next to Krishan Merriweather, a returning veteran at inside linebacker. And I think Demetri Moore will either lead the team in tackles or be right up there second or third. So he's really good. Cole Spencer is an offensive lineman. He played tackle at Western Kentucky. For Zach Kidley, he was an all-conference USA performer. I expect him to start at right guard, and that's a position of need. If there's a position of need at Texas Tech, I'm sure we'll talk about it later, but it's offensive line, and Cole Spencer is expected to step in there and be a good player for them at right guard.
And their offensive line last year was okay, if I recall, right? Like, maybe not amazing, but not
– That's a good description, yeah. It was okay.
Should they are you projecting improvement this year or just status quo, or are they trying to avoid a backslide? What's kind of your read there?
They have good numbers. They don't have a lot of proven guys. They have Caleb Rogers, who started a lot of games, mostly at right tackle, playing left tackle. He's a leader on the team, a captain, good player. Western Wright is slotted at left guard next to him. He started for two seasons at guard, a couple of spots. Very big dude, very good in the running game, not a liability as a pass protector either. So you feel really good about those two spots. But they're replacing Dawson Deaton, who went to the NFL. He was drafted, I believe, in the seventh round. He was a three-year starter at center, so that's a big hole. The guy they had started almost all spring, Clayton Franks, entered the transfer portal. They brought in a two-year starter from New Mexico named Cade Briggs, who's expected to take over the center spot. But then at right tackle, you have four or five guys who are fighting for it. And my wild card there is Ethan Carr. He's 6'8", 315, very athletic. He's supposed to be a really good golfer, actually. He's supposed to have a heck of a swing, which I don't know how that's possible at that size. But he started a couple of, at least almost like a whole season a couple of years ago at left tackle. Had some growing pains, had some good games, some bad games. But I think he – is somebody who can – he's healthy now. He could sneak in there and take that right tackle spot despite some other guys who have transferred in from all over the country who are also vying for that right tackle spot.
Nice. So I saw defensively Tim DeRuiter takes over as the defensive coordinator. He was at Oregon? I kind of know him as like the Air Force and A&M guy. DeRuiter takes over. They were – not the worst defense in the world last year, but certainly not a team strength, I guess we could say.
Right.
Up front, like, am I wrong to be excited about, like, Miles Cole and Sam Carell?
No, they have some returning guys. They have some quality players. I'm not saying all-conference players, but they have proven veterans who can play college football at this level, and they have depth for the first time. And I think that's really what they're keen on. And DeRuiter, I love this about DeRuiter, and I really loved what he's shown, what he showed throughout the spring, what he said about rotating a lot of guys in there and building depth, a true two deep, which has really been the problem as much as anything for Texas Tech. I mean, yes, talent, but just depth in general, which is what separates, you know, the best teams in Power Five football. So I think they have an opportunity to do that, and especially up front. Man, there's a Jalen Hutchings at nose is a really good player. He was a guy who ran for almost 1,000 yards as a running back in high school back in the day. He's, you know, obviously he's like 300 and something pounds now, but he's very athletic at his size. Tony Bradford's another guy. He played for a great high school football program, came in and played immediately as a freshman. Now he's been in the program for several years. Very strong guy, very experienced. So, yeah, you know, some of the other guys, I think the edge rush position has been a problem. Tech hasn't been able to create a lot of pressure on the quarterback and affect the quarterback on a consistent basis without sending the blitz. Some of those guys, Robert Wooden, who transferred in from Virginia Tech, Josiah Pierre, who transferred in from Florida, some of those guys are going to really have to step up. And really how the defense plays might depend on if they can get that consistent pressure without having to blitz a lot.
For sure. Secondary wise, you know, last year consistency was a bit of a problem. Are you expecting growth from this group this year? Can they just stay the same, or is it a backslide effort? What are you projecting there?
I think this is going to be one of the better secondaries, especially at safety, than they've been in a long time. Dadrian Taylor, they call him Rabbit. I'm just used to calling him Rabbit. He's a big part. He's quietly become one of Texas Tech's best players. He's the kind of guy that, like, even against Texas, where it seemed like Tech could get no stop, you know, couldn't stop Texas from just running down their throat. He actually came up with an interception in the end zone, made a couple of big hits. He was consistently good at safety last year and got better throughout the year. Reggie Pearson was a player who started his career at Wisconsin, was one of their better players as a redshirt freshman on, I think, a team that went to the Rose Bowl, and a very physical player, but who's also good in coverage. He had an illness that sidetracked him, and he actually couldn't get cleared by Wisconsin's doctors, but got cleared by three independent doctors and Texas Tech doctor before he transferred in last year. When healthy, he was really good. He was really good in the bowl game. Just really adds a physicality that maybe we haven't seen from Tech over, you know, last decade or so for most of the years. And then they have a guy, Marquise Waters, who was a standout for Duke for like 3 or 4 years. Had a really good start to last year, but hurt his shoulder, missed most of the year. Got that year back, and he's going to play kind of a hybrid linebacker safety position that we see all over college football now. And just a really good core of those three guys on the field at the same time, which I think is going to clean up a lot of mistakes and create a lot of turnovers for the Raiders.
Awesome. So I leave this interview feeling pretty good about Texas Tech. And then I look at the schedule, and this is not an easy start.
That's it.
Murray State. For sure. That's a dub, but hosting Houston, then having to travel to NC State, which, you know, I'm an ACC guy, they probably should have the best team they've had in 2 decades. Texas at Kansas State, at Oklahoma State, and then finally a bye week. And then the second half is more manageable. That's a rough start.
It really is. And you know how this goes. I've been trying to tell fans, like, there's so much excitement, and rightfully so, behind the Joey McGuire era. And I'm sure McGuire would disagree with me, but just from my vantage point, I'm trying to tell fans, look, it's going to be very difficult to start. Now, as you mentioned, Murray State, I mean, if you don't win that game, what are we talking about the season? Then you have Houston coming in. And look, Texas beating Houston, I think, 4 times in a row, that doesn't mean they're going to win this game. But I covered all those games, and you could see the difference. Now, Houston's coming up to the Big 12 soon, and I'm sure they'll get a big uptick in that. And they've had some really good years, don't get me wrong. But it just seems like some of that depth and overall team talent has played out again with Tech and Houston. Now, we'll have to see. Houston could beat Tech in Lubbock, yes. But I'm not marking that down as a loss. Now, on the other hand, going to NC State, I mean – that sounds very difficult this year, especially. I've never been to that stadium during a game, but I hear it's a great atmosphere. As you mentioned, they're expected to have one of the better teams they've had in decades. So that's a tough game. And then Texas. And Texas, from my vantage point, is always, or at least in the last decade or so, has been way overrated in the preseason. So I don't really know how good they're going to be, in terms of – are they really going to be that much better than Tech, and especially in Lubbock? But Tech historically has had a hard time beating Texas, kind of like what I was just talking about with Houston in recent history. So we'll have to that's a tough game. Kansas State has had Tech's number, so that's a tough game. And then Oklahoma State, Tech's actually, after a long dry spell of Oklahoma State just handling Tech, Tech has battled with Oklahoma State, upset the Cowboys a couple times when they've been the top 25 in the last 4 years. So – you know, to me, if you could somehow split or win 4 of those, then, I mean, look out. It's going to be a great year. But I expect them to probably split those 6 games, go into the bye, and then, okay, you know, where are we before they start the rest of the Big 12 schedule?
I mean, if you gave this staff truth serum and said, hey, 3-3, fast forward to the bye week, I think they're taking that and running with it. I look at their Vegas win total right now. I'm seeing mostly there's 1-5 and mostly 5.5s out there, which suggests like kind of will they or won't they make a bowl? If they can get through that if they get through that first 6 games, I think they can make a bowl. They got to find a way to get 3 wins in the first 6, I think.
Yeah, that's the key, really. I mean, who knows? You know how the season plays out with injuries and what could happen with the teams on your schedule, but. Yeah, I really do. I agree. I think the splitting that first half of the season before you get to a bye will probably tell the tale of the season. So we'll have to see. The Houston game to open the season was kind of looked at as a huge game, and it ended up playing out that way because Tech had 5 wins, like midway through the season, but then they played four ranked teams to finish the season, and they were able to upset Iowa State with that 62-yard field goal, which got them a bowl game. And then you went in the bowl game, and all of a sudden, hey, this was a pretty good season, you know, by recent Texas Tech standards.
Oh, I remember. Somebody with over 5.5 bet last year. I was like, okay, got to 5 wins, got 4 games left, feeling pretty good. And you're like, okay, all right, still going to need one of these guys. Best, yeah.
I don't feel as confident about the over. Like, I think they could win 6 games. I think if you win 7 regular season games with this schedule, then wow. Yeah. I think the best way to describe it is I think this is a better team on paper than last year, but it's a much tougher schedule. It is. It's a much tougher schedule than it was last year.
No doubt about it. Jared Johnson, Inside the Red Raiders, the place to go inside the 24/7 Sports Network and on the whole internet for any kind of Texas Tech content that y'all want. Make sure to check them out. Really appreciate the time today.
Hey, bud. Anytime, man. Appreciate you having me.
Yes, sir. All right. That's the bell. Cover 3 College Football Summer School is over for today. But don't worry. We'll be back soon with even more episodes filling you in on the top teams in college football. Please give us those 5-star reviews on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Follow us on YouTube and on Twitter at Cover3 Podcast. And we'll see y'all soon.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and 3-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.